By the way, for those who are about to panic, seeing this, notice I only have one page in here and about three lines, so. Looked bad for a minute there. And I'm sure some of you are wondering what I'm doing up here anyway. Hadn't been here as much as I should have lately and haven't been as deeply as involved as I should be, and I apologize for that. If it helps any when you're wondering why I'm up here, I'm wondering the same thing. You'll have to ask Brother Gary. I got asked, but I'm here, and hopefully he made a comment that I decided to follow through with when I told him basically what I just said yesterday, that, well, just talk from, you know, what I said, I need to be the one out there listening instead of the one up here talking. And his comment was basically that, I don't remember the exact wording, but okay, we'll say what you need to hear. And that's what I'm going to try to do. I hope that you get something out of it this morning. But if you go, well, Brother Don, you hadn't been living everything you've been saying, I agree completely. But hopefully you'll get something out of it as well. I'll tell you how well prepared I am. I suddenly was back there and realized I was looking in there and still trying to find it here, that I had realized the verse that I wanted to start with, and it was there, and I couldn't even find it till 2 seconds ago. You can tell I'm just stuttering. I'm so well prepared this morning. Anyway, but over in Romans 7:15, for that which I do, I allow not, and that which I would do, that I do not, but what I hate, that do I. And sometimes we do that. It makes me feel a little better to know that I'm not the only person who's ever looked at it. Did you ever do that? You finish something up and you go, what did I just do? Why did I do that? Well, I have that on Sunday morning a lot. I'll get up and decide to come. I'll get started on a project and all of a sudden I realize it's too late and I just, what did I just do? Why did I do that? We all have troubles, but it made me start thinking here about this church and what this church means to me and what the church is. And I guess the funny thing about it is that reminded me more of when I went to one of the few periods in my life, short periods in my life, when I went to a different church. But when I was at A&M, I went to the little Primitive Baptist Church down there at A&M, which made this look like a huge gathering. They had a little preacher down there who had taken on 3 or 4 churches. And he would ride around and basically do each church once a month and go to those, I think it was 4 churches. But of course, the people who didn't have church that month would try to drive to a different church. What the basic effect of it was that the same 15 or 20 people met every Sunday, but who the home church was, who the toasting church was, rotated. Who was at home and who was away. And that's, I hope those little churches are still surviving. I fear they're not. We got there one Sunday, and Brother, and I can't remember the pastor's name, I'm embarrassed, but we got there, and there was an old man who was in that church who was a stalwart. I mean, a Brother Drummond to this church kind of guy, okay? And our Brother Crawford, for those who can reach that far back, I don't think there's many here. But those real solid, steady deacon, and he wasn't there. And somebody said, well, where's Brother Hurd this morning? Now, I'll tell you, this guy is somebody who had taken my parents under his wing when they went to school at A&M, and he was still going to that church when I went down there. And somebody, where's Brother Hurd? Well, he slipped and hurt his hip a little. He's okay. But he just couldn't make it, and his wife stayed home with him. Oh, well, how's he feeling? He feels fine. He's just having to stay laying down. Oh, well, let's call him. And they called him, discovered he was feeling okay to receive visitors. So we, the church, packed up, all of us, in our private cars, and we drove to his house. And we had church in his living room that morning. Made that old man so happy. Made me feel pretty good, too. This is not a church. It's a nice structure. I thank God we have it. I thank you for the care that you've given, taking care to make sure it's maintained. But this is a church house. This is a church. The people sitting in there. If you'll look in the Bible, you'll find that over and over again. And we need each other to be a part of the church.
Amen.
This building really doesn't amount to much if it's empty. It takes us to give it life. Brother Drummond came to me and one time, and I was missing some then, and he talked to me, and he said, you know, if you take a coal and you light it and you lay it out on the ground, he said, it won't be long before that coal goes out. But he said, if you take a heap of coals and you pile them all up together and you light them, they'll burn hot, burn real hot. You can't light just one coal. You can't stand alone. I've been missing you guys, and I apologize for not having been here as much as I have. And I'm sitting here today. I don't have much of a message. I may in the future, because just the inspiration of having to walk up here, I've got more notes here on things to go back and study, because I think there's something there than I do reality of what's in it. But that's kind of my thought is, just, you know, we're blessed this morning. The Poes walked in, and you could just kind of feel an uplift in the building. You could kind of feel us all kind of feeling good about that. That's positive. Well, hello, Miss Katie. I didn't even see you. I didn't see Katie or Tracy when I first got here this morning. So, no, that's fine. Do I look like a guy who's going to complain about somebody getting here late? I'm just glad we're here. So I haven't, I've made the decision to not force, and I'm not setting as good an example as I could with some of them, but, forgive me here. I'm thumbing through my Bible. You might say I keep my Bible on my phone, maybe a little modern tech, but you know what? It's still St. James words. And that's about all I've got. I'm ready to turn it. I will say that I looked over here in John some. John 17:19. That didn't look like what I was looking for. I wrote it down somehow wrong. I'll go to the last. I'm sorry that I missed where I'm at there, but basically what I'm looking at is the fact that Jesus was here for us, and it's Him in us is what we're looking for, and we need it. John 17:26, and I have declared unto them my name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. The line that I was looking for, and I had to have been one or two off, was he commented, it's John 17:20, neither I pray for these alone. Still not there. He comments that he doesn't pray for the world, but for the ones that the Lord gave him. It's right in there, John. I've got to be off by no more than a line. If it wasn't for the fact I'm looking forward, I'd stand here and look it up for you, and if you want it, I'll get it after church. But right now, I want to hear what Brother Stephen has, because I'm hoping he has a whole lot more to say than I do. But it's Him in us, and we're here for Him. That's what draws us together, is to see Him in each other. Every one of us could look at each other and say, that's what's wrong with old brother, what's his name? Because we're not any of us perfect, but we need to be looking for Christ in each other, and we need to be here looking for it.
17:9, if you want to read that verse.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I don't know how I got 17. I wrote 17:19 somehow. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and we are his. And that's where we need to be, is where we feel that heat and it reflected back to us. And we need to be looking for the best in each other. We could, I guarantee you, I'd let you tell me what's wrong with me, but everybody would want to go home before we got done. You hadn't got that much time. But thank you, and thank you for even when I fouled up being my church family, and when we're here, there are so many who love, and I miss people when they're not here. You know, I miss Frank like you guys can't imagine. That's a church brother that's there, and I'm so sorry he's not able to be here. And now Sue's gone this morning as well. Just miss those people when I don't get to shake hands with them and say, how are you guys doing? All right. If you got something of value out of it, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. It is a, and I don't know, maybe I get into habits, I tend to open, it is an honor and a blessing to stand before the Lord's people this morning. And it's also a very scary thing. And I think Brother Don can attest to that. When you're not a God-called minister and you're asked to stand before the Lord's people and try to bring something out that is both edifying to them and glorifying to the Lord, it's not an easy thing to do. And I'm do something this morning, and I guess I can have a few liberties that maybe a preacher doesn't have, because I'm not a preacher, so I can get away with some stuff, right? I guess, but before I do that, it is good to see the Poes this morning and meet some new Poes. We'll probably never meet all the Poes, because there's a lot of them running around out there, but it's a blessing to see y'all here this morning, and it makes me think of something that I think is unique to our people. I know that if I go to Arkansas and I pop in the church that the Poes go to, I'm going to be as welcome as I hope you feel welcome here this morning, as you have always felt welcome when you're here. And we know we're probably going to get fed. You know we're going to hear some songs that we know. We're going to hear words that we know. And we're going to hear, you know, get a comfort from that. Because when you're traveling and you're out somewhere, it's pretty easy not to go to church when you're out of town sometimes. But, you know, me and Tracy, when we travel, we try to look for places that have a Primitive Baptist church. And it's amazing because you always find somebody you know, or you find somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that you know. And it's always a comforting feeling to know that our people are out there, scattered sometimes, and you're not going to walk into a congregation with 700 or 800 people, and that's okay. I think that's too big anyway. But it is a comfort, and I hope you feel comforted being here this morning, and we're so glad to have you. One of the things I've seen Brother Webb do this, he's the only preacher I've ever seen do like this. Well, I guess when he has a song on his mind, when he gets there, you know, he'll sing a verse. And this song has been on my mind. We sang it Wednesday night. It's number 571 in the book, Take My Hand, Precious Lord. And I know we all work and we all have our lives out away from this church and out in the world sometimes. And this is how I feel sometimes. And we'll just sing the first verse. And I got the microphone, so I'll back up from the microphone so you don't have to hear me be too loud. When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, would lead me home. It's just a special song to me. And sometimes when I come in after the week, have you ever thought about that? I am tired, I am weak, and I am worn. You come in, you feel your physical gas tank is empty, and your spiritual gas tank is empty some days. And I know maybe I'm the only one that ever feels like that. I don't know, looking out across the crowd. And I always preface this, and I'll say it again for those that don't know me. I'm not going to ever stand here and talk to you about something that I'm really good at, right? Because I'm such the perfect guy or the perfect dad or the perfect husband. You know, I'm talking to you about things that I struggle with because I recognize that struggle in myself, and I got to figure there's other people struggling too, right? And I came in here this morning, you know, and Tracy, I think, feels the same way sometimes, you know, with the life that we live. You know, we are tired, we are weak, and we are worn. And I think as a people, we get like that too. And as a church, we get like that at times. We get tired, we get weak, and we get worn. We get worn spiritually, we get worn mentally, we get worn physically. And a lot of times, when you get worn like that, it starts to affect you in your life, in your church life, in your home. But then when I get here this morning, you know, I feel a little bit not so weak, not so tired, and not so worn. And it's not because of anything I've done or anything that I've, you know, had this sudden inspiration this morning that I'm such a great guy. It's from you and from the Lord. Because when I look around and I see the family, you know, our brother Don was talking about, and I appreciate those words that he spoke this morning. When you do have that heap of burning coals, you know, you can see it from a long way off. You can feel the heat from that. And that's what when I stand before you and amongst you, I feel that love from God's people, from a like-minded people that have gathered themselves together, not forsaken the gathering of themselves in this place this morning, and the worship and the fellowship and the spirit that has felt here this morning. And I know it's not because of anything that I could possibly do or bring to you or say, but I know it's of the Lord. And I know what the Lord has put into this group this morning. And that's a very special thing that I don't think you can always find when you go other places. But you find it, I think it's unique with our people. So I'm very blessed to feel that this morning. And then, you know, I get to thinking, you know, should I be standing here? You know, there's a word in the Bible, you know, it's used as hypocrite. You know, and hypocrite is a Greek word that means actor. So, you know, I'm not going to stand here and act like I am something I'm not to you. But we feel that way sometimes when we're called to stand and try to do our duty for our church and for our people. And then I got to thinking this morning, you know, do I deserve to stand and before the Lord's people this morning, or what do I deserve in life? And I got to thinking, well, let me run through my checklist, you know. Am I perfect? Not so much. Not a sinner? Nope, that's not true. You know, we're all sinners. I deserve God's grace and love? Not so much. But I know what the Lord has done for us. And I know, you know, we love the Lord because he first loved us. You know, we don't have, as carnal humans, you know, being born in trespasses and sin, and knowing the only time that we're ever going to stop sinning is when we pass from this life to the next. You know, that's it's kind of a scary thought, but, you know, that is what we are. But to know that the Lord placed that love in us, and that we're able to recognize that love as his children, that's a special thing. And I really, you know, I was kind of like Brother Don this morning, is really having a whole lot to talk about. I've been digging around in my Bible, and I told Brother Gary this morning, it's been a rough week at the Ross household for for study and time management. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I didn't have time at some point to study in my Bible. I'm going to tell you that I did not make use of my time. And I think that's a true statement, and that's another thing that's true with a lot of us. You know, we get home and from work and we're tired and we're weak and we're worn. So that carnal nature in us, what do to make that better? Oh, we turn on the TV. It doesn't help so much. You know, that takes us not to that spiritual place that we should be seeking, but it takes us to that worldly place that's outside of here, that's outside of our hearts and our minds. And that's who we are. But the Lord still loves us, right? We still have that love. We still feel that love. I'm not going to take up a lot of time this morning either. One, because I'm kind of hungry because I didn't eat breakfast. And I know there's good food back there. But two, I don't believe in just talking just to talk. You know, I'm going to say what I feel led to said this morning, and then we'll move on to the next part of our day. In Romans chapter 11, in verse 5. You can turn with me if you have your Bibles and you feel led to this morning. But starting in verse 5, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And I look around and we are that remnant that are chosen or part of that remnant. We know that the Lord's children number more than the stars in the sky and the sands in the sea. But this is a remnant of those people sitting here right now this morning. And, you've heard me say this before too. I believe that's evident by your willingness and your desire to be with the Lord's people this morning. You've put aside the cares and the worries of the world this morning. You've gathered in here. And hopefully you've been praying for this service. And, you know, you've got the thoughts of the world out of your mind. You know, you've prayed that the Lord will cleanse your heart and mind this morning and just give you thoughts of nothing but this. And then I get to thinking, according to the election of grace. And that grace is a big word, right? And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. And you think about how profound that is in our lives, you know, and you get a minute, and if you just want to beat yourself up, look at what I was talking about, make you a salvation checklist. What did I do today to deserve to go to heaven? What in my life has brought me to the point that I'm perfect enough to go in there? And you might scare yourself. Emma's shaking her head. She's like, nope. So I'm 13 and I ain't even going there. I ain't even been around that long and I ain't going there. So, you know, me and Brother James probably have a pretty good list, though. He's a good man. But if you really got to sit down and making that list, it'd be a scary thing. If you really, you know, if you look at, I don't know, some of you didn't know too, I was an anthropology major in college. And so I was going to be an archaeologist at the time, and then I found out you had to have your doctorate degree, and Tracy told me if I didn't hurry up and marry her, she was going to run off. So I had to go to work and not worry about getting my master's or my doctorate. And you study these ancient cultures, you know, where you went to the afterlife, and in their vision, you know, you weighed your heart on a scale with your deeds, and you know, your heart had to be lighter than all your bad things you had done in your life when you got judged. And I tell you what, that'd be a scary place for me. Maybe not for the rest of you, but that would be a scary place for me if I had to go and do that. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. You know, and we know, you know, the Jews of that time, they were looking for a Messiah, but when he came, they couldn't recognize it. When they were seeking signs and all this great thing, they were expecting this king with this great army to come into Jerusalem and run the Romans out and establish rule back in the temple, and they couldn't see what was right in front of them. They couldn't see the grace that was right there. You know, it's I lost where I wanted to go. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears they should not hear unto this day. And, you know, I guess it was last week I was up here speaking some. We were talking about, you know, the differences of the world and being in here. And, you know, God gave... If you look over in John, where one place I was last week, the Gospel of John 30, 6 and 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. So we know, and then no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. I will raise him up in that last day. So we know that we have to be drawn from the Lord and sent from the Lord to him. And we think about that, and if you go back and you read, I'm not going to go back through and read all this morning, but you go and read Ephesians, you know, the first chapter of Ephesians, and we know what the work the Lord did for us before the foundation of the world, and we know, you know, the commandments that he gave us, you know, loving one another. Me and Brother Gary were talking about that one another. You know, you loving your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, I'm sorry, I'm paraphrasing. I guess I could go find it real quick in Matthew, because I get in trouble when I paraphrase sometimes. In Matthew 24, and starting in verse 37, you know, or starting in verse 36, when the Sadducees and the Pharisees were trying to trick the Lord, or trying to get him to answer something that he shouldn't have. In verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And you are my neighbors. You are my spiritual neighbors. You know, I have neighbors out there in the world, and they're good people. One of them, we've lived next to for 2 or 3 years, and I don't even know their name. You know, it's nothing. I don't have any animosity towards them. They're not very talky people. You see them out in the yard, they'll say hi, and they kind of run away. And our other neighbors are a young couple with two little kids, and Tracy has to run me out of the yard when they're out there, because I'll sit out there and talk to Chase for an hour, you know, just because we'll just sit out there and talk. But that's not the same as the love that I have for you as my neighbors. Because we are physically scattered between here, Big Spring, Andrews, Crane, when Brother Joe's here. You know, we're scattered all around. We have this central place that we come to worship. But I have a love for you that I do not have for my worldly neighbors. And I think that's what he meant in here. You know, and we have a duty and responsibility as members of this church to one another, to love one another, to care for one another. And y'all have heard me say this before. There's nothing out in that world that is going to care for you. And it's hard. You know, Jonathan, you're lucky you're here today. I can pick on you as a young person. I catch Taylor and Katie and Emma all the time, but it's hard for us to impart into you. I know the kind of parents that you have and the family that you have, to make you understand that there's nothing out there in that world that ever wants to do you good. You know, it's hard. And I know Katie and Emma hear it a lot, and that's one of our duties to one another. You know, we have a duty to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divining the word of truth. You know, we do have a duty to study as God's children. We should have a desire to study, and the more you study, the more you have that desire. You know, these are things that, and when we are called to stand before God's children, when we don't have a ministry, it's important that you're willing to stand, and if nothing else, read some scriptures that are relevant. You don't have to be a preacher or a speaker to bring something to God's people that they might need to hear that day, because you never know what's needed, or what's put on your heart or run through you. And I just flipped over here in Timothy. I'd closed my Bible, then I opened it back up. Who has, in the first chapter, Timothy, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in us in Jesus Christ before the world began. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, nothing we can do, and for his purpose, not our purpose, his purpose, which was given us in Jesus Christ before the world began. That's just a beautiful thought and a beautiful feeling to know that we have a Lord that loved us that much and that cares for us to this day this much, knowing what he knows about each and every one of us, knowing that he has that care and that love for us. He has that care and that love for this church. I think that's evident when we look around and we see the people here and we see the love. And I see the smiles in your faces, and it's an uplifting experience to know that y'all are here and y'all are here for us as we have this refuge from the world and are able to come here. And that's all I've got this morning, Brother Gary. I'll just turn it over to you if you've got anything, or we can sing a song and close and go eat lunch.
Thank you, brother. I'm hungry too.